Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 42 of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. We are your hosts,
Tony.
And I am Lou. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. Don't forget, as always, you can write to us at podcast@pause.com, visit us on Facebook, and become a fan of our Facebook page, as well as our podcast. And go to iTunes, where you can subscribe to our podcast. Ding! Leave us a review. Ding! And leave us a rating. Ding! Those are the three bullet points that I wanted to make.
I like how the middle one was like, ding!
Well, the batteries were getting low on that one. What's going on? You got any shout-outs? You got any acknowledgments?
We do have an announcement.
Oh, we do have an announcement.
We have a contest.
That's right. We do have another contest.
Let me say, first of all, that it helps to become a fan on our Facebook page.
Yeah, because then you get updates.
You do. And so some people are already aware of this contest.
And I think we should point out that these are not crazy updates. You're not going to get bombarded.
No.
Okay, you're not going to get bombarded by
us. At most, like twice a week.
Twice a week. We're not talking about 10 times a day. We're not going to try to give you $29 million from a Nigerian bank. Okay? We're not going to try to improve your love life, except with our excellent advice and entertainment critiques. What else are we not going to try to do?
We're not going to try to think of any more things.
We're not going to try to sell you vacuum sealed meat. Are we?
Yeah. No. Okay. Let's talk about the contest.
Okay. It's no nonsense. This is the no nonsense show.
We have,
I will not
one
emote during the rest of the show.
Listener.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I am refusing to show emotion. This is going to be the Vulcan show.
You're a bit Dwightish right now.
Oh, you're bagels and cheese.
Our contest, we are giving away to one lucky listener a year's subscription. That's a whole year's subscription.
That's 50 weeks.
Plus two. of Entertainment Weekly.
Actually, don't they only do 50
issues? Yes, 50 issues. Two double issues.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, hence my joke.
Yeah,
so a free one-year subscription.
That's like a, I don't know how much it's worth, but it's a lot.
It's worth a lot, especially if you consider the value of the news in there.
Right.
Which is not quite as valuable as the news you receive on this program.
Well, I don't know about that.
I'm just saying, I think it's a good idea for us to point that out.
But we don't want to make it, you know, that you have to do anything weird or hard or anything.
No.
So all you have to do is email us
right
at podcast@pause.com.
With the secret password, which we will reveal later in the episode.
Yes, that's a good idea. We'll reveal it later.
Later in the episode.
That way you
not
have
right
to listen.
Now. That's right.
Very good
point. It's going to be in a secret place in the episode. But we'll let you know that it's the secret code word.
The password is.
And then we'll reveal it after that. But not right now. So once we reveal that, send us an email to podcast@pause.com with the secret password.
And your address.
And your physical street address where you can receive, you know, something
a year's
that we mail.
Subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
Right. And we will pick from among the entries we get at random.
Yes.
And am I allowed to enter this contest?
No.
Okay.
You already get Entertainment Weekly.
Yeah, 3 weeks late.
Yeah.
Every week.
That wouldn't change with another subscription, I don't think.
I guess you're right. I still can't figure that out. It's very annoying, though. So that's pretty cool. And that's the contest right there.
Yeah.
I got nothing else about that.
Me neither.
Okay, not until we give away the secret password is later on.
You think they can hear the whispering?
Sure, they can hear that.
Okay.
Yeah. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
So then they can hear it. They can hear everything you can hear, even when we're not doing the show, which is a little weird.
So let's
I forgot. This is the no-nonsense Vulcan episode of the Pause.com Entertainment Podcast. Illuminating.
That's not the password.
That's not. No. That's not the password. I don't want to give out
false hope.
You
can't say things like that in that
I can't
voice.
Just throw out random words. No, we're going to preface it by saying, the password is, and then we'll say the password.
Right.
Or the code
word. We're spending a lot of time talking about the password.
Yeah, that's true. Why don't you talk about what you've been playing?
Okay. Recently, I've been playing Red Faction Guerrilla.
Hmm.
On the Xbox 360.
Okay.
Gaming console.
So you take the role of a primate?
No, that's...
Oh, the other kind of gorilla.
I gotcha. It's fun. It's an open world game.
Yeah.
It takes place on Mars.
Okay.
And you're kind of like a rebel against this group that has taken over Mars and what's great about this game is I'm not doing a very good job of explaining it so far. But
would you like to take a nap or something?
I need a nap, actually. But what's cool about this game, you're trying to take down this this group that's taken over Mars. So they have all these like buildings and government stuff.
I'm sorry.
So what's this is so hard for me right now.
So there's bad guys, and you're a good guy fighting the bad guys.
Right. And like I said, it's open world, so you can take the missions as
you just go wherever you want.
But what's cool is the whole destructive nature of it. What you're supposed to do is destroy all of their stuff and get them out of there.
Yeah.
So so you're armed always with a hammer, which can like knock through like stone and metal.
Right.
And that. And then you're given all kinds of an arsenal of many weapons that, you know.
Can you carry them all at once and switch between them, or is
you can carry other than the hammer, which you always have, three other things.
Oh, okay.
So what's really cool is you can just decide to go and like rather than doing any of the missions, you can just go and try to destroy their stuff, like their buildings. And one of the cool things, you can throw like these charges on them and then you press a button and it explode. And what's cool about it, the physics of the whole thing is obviously you have to figure out the best place to place these charges.
Right.
And you want to make sure you're not inside the building.
Yeah, that would be bad.
As the final charge, you know, that destroys the building because you die, obviously.
Yeah.
But what's cool is it doesn't go down right away. So like you think of building like once you've given it enough to drop the building, it takes a good like maybe 20 seconds.
Yeah.
So you're never really sure if it's going to fall or
not. Oh, so it's kind of like, yeah, that's kind of cool. So you're kind of watching it in anticipation of did I make it come down?
Right.
Yeah.
And then when it comes down, it's pretty big. And then what you want to do is collect a lot of the scraps and stuff because that's kind of like your currency.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you use to buy more weapons than that.
Sure.
So it's just fun. I mean, even the missions aside, I mean, the missions are fun too. I could see how it could get a little repetitive because the missions are, you know, there's one where you have to go save a hostage.
Okay.
You know, there's like four different things to do, and then it's just a repeat of those.
Yeah.
But I'm just having fun just going around and destroying
blowing up
stuff.
Buildings. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's even like a multiplayer mode where you go and you try to destroy as much stuff in an amount of time.
Oh, that's cool.
Of time. So you get like, you know, you pick the weapons or charges or, you know, there's one thing that's like electrical, then there's another like proximity mines. And
right.
It's just really cool.
Now, do the mines count as one of your three weapons other than the hammer?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And can you carry?
And you can upgrade them. So, for example, like you know, at first you're only allowed to throw two of these charges, you know, and then you can buy an upgrade where you can throw three before you let them off.
Right.
Or you can buy an upgrade to where you can carry more.
Oh, that's cool.
Now I have to say, now this game would be really cool if it was just a little more advanced as far as like the graphics.
Yeah, it doesn't look.
I mean, they're not terrible, but it
they're
certainly
just not
doesn't
that exciting.
Compare to the stuff that's out today.
Now, are there guns or is it just the hammer?
No, there's
and the
guns
explosives?
Too. Because, well, there are enemies. I mean, they come at you. And one of my problems with the game is that it's not very colorful.
Okay,
you're on Mars, so it's kind of
very
like a reddish.
Yeah,
but a lot of blacks and stuff. So a lot of times when they're hiding behind stuff because the color palette isn't very varied.
Yeah.
You can't really tell, you know, what's the enemy and what's, you know.
Well, are the people red?
No, they're wearing suits and they're either black or white, but there's not a lot of variety of colors.
Sure.
So they don't really stand out, you know.
But I would think if the landscape's all red and they're wearing black or white, then it shouldn't be too hard to see them.
No, but all the buildings and stuff are white and black and
that seems
weapons
like a,
crates and stuff
seems like
that.
A bad design. In that sense.
Yeah, they could have done something to make it a little, you know, make them stand out.
Yeah, maybe they could have made their eyes glow red.
But what's really cool, there are vehicles as well.
Yeah.
And let me say, I told you I've been playing Grand Theft Auto 4. I wish the vehicles in Grand Theft Auto 4, which don't handle very well, and that's on purpose because, you know, once you get the better vehicles, they handle better. But the vehicles in this handle so well. And if you get, like, in a tank, if you steal one of the enemy's tanks... And, like, you can just drive through buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
It's really just all the things open to you to destroy and the ways to destroy are just really cool.
That sounds cool.
There's this one part where there's a whole field of, like, windmills.
Yeah.
And you could just get in a tank and just drive through the windmills and they just keep falling. And, like, and what's cool, obviously, if there's, you know, enemies inside the building that you take down,
they die
as well.
Yeah, right.
So the goal of the game is to, you know, completely
eliminate the enemy.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, who makes that game? Do you know?
THQ.
Oh, sure, THQ.
Yeah.
Makers of many games.
Yeah. You're waiting for me to name one, aren't you?
Go ahead. No, it doesn't matter. I don't care. anything else you want to add about that?
No, I've just been having a lot of fun with it. I hope if they come out with another one that it's a little more advanced as far as like
the visuals,
the look, and yeah. But I'm having fun with it, and obviously the story is like, you know, it's throwaway.
Right.
I mean, once you know what you have to do, it's
yeah,
not much
yeah.
to it. But
yeah, when you say that, it makes me think about Assassin's Creed, and how in Assassin's Creed I felt like there was no variety at all to the gameplay. Like it was really just the same mission over and over.
No,
and over
this
again.
Isn't as monotonous as that.
Yeah, because I think that was probably one of the most monotonous games I've ever played, which was a shame because it was also one of the most beautiful games
right.
I've ever played.
Yeah, I'm anxious to see with this new one coming out, which comes out, I think, next week.
Yeah, I also didn't like that again, I felt the controls were not very well suited to playing it on the PC. I mean, it was obviously done first and foremost as a console game.
Right.
And I thought the translation to using the keyboard for the different things that you can do in that game was pretty poor. So it'll be interesting to see if they change that at all for Assassin's Creed 2. But, you know, like in Assassin's Creed, the whole thing is, and I'm sure I'm not going to ruin this for anybody because if you're going to play it, you probably already did. But it kind of takes place in the near future.
Right.
But they keep sticking you in this machine and making you go through the life of one of your ancestors, which is supposedly encoded in your DNA. And so as you progress through the game, supposedly you get to learn more and more about why this organization has kidnapped you and is making you do this and what they're up to. And I never found out any of that stuff because the game was so boring that I never progressed far enough to learn any of that.
Right.
Do you know what happened
no,
story-wise?
No, you got farther than I did.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was really disappointed with that because it had so much potential and it just looked fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That was
so
a lot of
boring.
People's complaints. So I think we'll be able to see just by the reviews right away if they've corrected that.
If it's
that.
The same thing, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I also want to mention before we go on that I feel like I'm a little behind the times because I know the biggest game of the year just came out a couple days ago, which is Call of Duty. I guess it's Call of Duty 5. No, it's just Modern Warfare 2.
Okay.
I have not picked it up yet, but I will discuss it next week.
Yeah.
So
I might actually check that out. I wonder if can you play that on the PC?
Yeah.
And is there a demo?
I don't think so.
God, what is up with this?
You know what? I don't know for sure. I'm
sick of no demos.
While you're talking.
You know, and that's what I'm
going
to talk about.
About whatever you're going to discuss.
Yeah.
I'll,
thanks for once again belittling my contribution. No, I mean, this is another week of demos for me. I did download the Left 4 Dead 2 demo. It looks really nice. Just like the first one, it looks really nice. It looks even better, I think, even the people and their motions are very, very well done. But I can't get into the gameplay of that game. And it was the same with the first one. It didn't hold my interest. I think because I liked, don't get mad at me for saying it, but because I liked Half-Life 2 and Portal so much, and they both had really, to me, compelling stories behind the scenes in the game, it's a little disappointing, I guess, and kind of a little bit of a letdown that
right.
It's really, I mean, you're really just playing Gauntlet with zombies.
Right. You know what? Yeah, which I could see maybe some would find that fun, but to me it would become a little, you know,
yeah,
boring after a while.
Like the strategy of playing with those four other people.
How people think it's just like the greatest.
Well, I mean, if they have fun with it, I mean, if you and I were into it and we...
Where's the innovation is my question.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. And you know, I don't have a lot of friends who play those kind of games, so it's not like I can get online with three
right.
of my other friends and play that, and I don't want to play a pickup group with that kind of game because it's just going
to
be annoying.
Because people call you an idiot, as has happened to me in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah. You know, I still have never opened my headset.
Really?
Remember we went to the Best Buy and that helpful guy, like, you know,
right.
never haven't even opened the package.
No.
But anyway. So so I played that, and then I went online to try to find a demo for Dragon Age Origins, which I've been looking forward to for a long time. Well, here's the thing. I had been looking forward to it because it sounded really cool. And then I saw a movie that they released where the soundtrack was like death metal.
Uh-huh.
And I thought it was going to be the dumbest game ever. And it made me feel really old, too, because I'm like, oh, well, here I am like the old guy complaining about the stupid music in the video game trailer. And then I read something the other day that I guess there was a huge backlash against them after they released that movie for that exact reason.
Right.
That all these people were saying, what are you doing? What kind of game is this going to be? Is it just going to be
Well, you wouldn't know who does the song. I know that they did... There's a 30 Seconds to Mars song that they do a commercial for. I don't know if that's
I don't know.
I'd hardly call it death metal, but it's...
Well, I don't know. It was music that seemed inappropriate for what the title is.
Okay.
And so anyway, so I wanted to try to find a demo for it so that I could check it out and see what it's all about. And so I went in, there was a demo on Steam. It was a character creator. You can't even play the game. It's like the thing that lets you create your character and that's it.
Did you create a character? At least?
I did create a character.
Did you?
But I did. Well, because, you know, I wanted to see if there was anything, you know, and right. It was the same as every other character creator. Right.
Huge boobs.
Huge boobs. Big eyes.
Right.
Pouty lips.
Right.
Goofy hair. That's a strange color. No, you can't actually change the body style.
Oh.
So it's just, it's really, you're just customizing the face.
Because
I mean, I think you
then
can
everyone would have huge boobs.
I don't think that's true because I've played games before where you could customize the body style and that was not the case.
Yeah.
My characters aside. No, I'm just kidding. I usually don't mess around with the body other than the height.
Right.
Like I usually try to fit the height of the character to the kind of character it is. So like the mages and the rangers, I usually make pretty petite, whereas the warriors I make kind of bigger and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that aside, I usually don't mess with it that much.
You're a total geek.
It's too much work. But I was really disappointed that once again, big release supposedly and no demo. I don't get what's going on.
By the way, the biggest release of the year, no demo.
Ridiculous.
Yep.
Absolutely ridiculous. And still playing World of Warcraft. My character hit level 70, so that was pretty cool.
Did you have some kind of celebration?
No, not really. There were a couple of people in my guild who were online at the time, and they said congratulations.
Seriously?
What?
Seriously?
Seriously what?
There were people in your guild that congratulated you?
Yeah, you know, whenever you get any kind of achievement in the game,
uh-huh.
The other people who are in your guild can see that because right. There's a little line item that goes into the chat box. So people always just usually say, hey, congrats, you know, on whatever the achievements are. So it's polite. It's courtesy. What?
It's just funny to me. Okay, I can laugh.
Why
I
is
can
it
find
funny, to you?
Funny?
You know, I have a couple of keys for 10-day free trials. I think you should play it for 10 days.
Okay.
10 days.
Yeah, I may do that.
It'd be fun.
It's easy to pick up?
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
It's very simple. You know, it seems like it could be very complicated it's such a huge thing and there are a lot of options. I mean, when you configure your interface, you know, you can set it up so there's like, you know, what look like 100 commands.
That's what
or whatever.
It looks like, yeah.
Right. But really, that's just for the sake of convenience so that if you want to use one of those things, you can. Basically, as you, you know, build up abilities and stuff like that, you add them to one of your, you know, your hotbars like that. And then when you're playing the game, you're basically just hitting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, you know.
Right.
You're not really like making complex decisions and stuff like that for the most part. So I thought it was pretty easy to pick up. And I think that's one of the things that's made it as successful as it is. Because it's not too complicated.
I may check it out.
See,
I wasn't so adamant.
No,
there.
I appreciate that. I appreciate that I did not have to hear, you can't make me do anything I don't want to do.
No, but that'll
since
probably
I heard
come
that at
later.
Lunch. At lunch, we got sat between, it was one of those horrible tables that's like, you know, where there's like a bench, it's like a half booth, and there's no divider. So it was a table of old ladies on one side of us. And then a table of young ladies and one man on the other side of us. And we're right in the middle. And there's like, you know, like 12 inches between the tables. You feel like you can't have a conversation. I hate that kind of setup. No restaurant should do that.
Is there a payoff to this?
No, I'm just complaining.
I know, but it was okay.
I'm just saying. There was something you said that reminded me of that situation.
Because I told you at lunch that can't make me.
I don't remember what
that
was in
do.
Reference to, though.
You wanted me to watch Firefly or something.
Oh, yeah, you should watch Firefly. I'm going to loan it to you.
No.
I don't want to hear it again. But that's all I got for video games.
Okay. On to miscellaneous?
Yes, please.
Okay, PS3 owners who have received the disc necessary to access Netflix on their consoles may want to hold on to them for a while because it may take up to a year for the service to become part of the system software.
A year?
Yeah. Let me say, I got my disc on Friday.
Yeah.
And very easy. I mean, you just have to have the disc in.
Yeah.
It's not a huge deal.
Right.
I mean, sure, I'd like it to be built in, but like, I can't see people being in uproar over this. But
So when you're saying hold on to them for a while, you mean don't get rid of the disc because you think it's going to be part of the system?
No, you because right now that's what you need to access Netflix. If you take that disc out,
right. And
no,
what you're saying is it may be that way
could,
for up to a year.
Up to a year.
Okay.
Yes.
That's crazy talk.
I know. I don't
if
know.
If the software is already available, which it is because it's on
why
the disc.
Why don't you just load it on the? You
yeah.
Know? Yeah. Well, let me say I would hope that they're gonna give it a little more features than it has now.
Yeah.
Because when you load it in now, you already have to have your queue done from like your computer. Whereas on Xbox, you can pick movies. Like you can go through the catalog on Xbox.
Through the Xbox. Movies.
Yeah. On the PS3, you can't. All you can do is play.
Right.
So you can go through your queue and play. And I mean, obviously you can fast forward in that.
Sure,
but I'm
sure.
just saying you,
but you can't
no
manage your
catalog.
Queue. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
So so I hope that they would change that to be like the Xbox 360. Because I have a friend who has Netflix on his TiVo, and he says you can't go through the catalog on that either. You have
Gosh,
to.
That's strange.
That is strange. I mean, you
because
would
usually, especially for TiVo, because they usually seem like they're kind of the trendsetters for wonderfulness as far as TV goes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, they usually have better features than anybody else for...
Not for their Netflix.
Apparently
instant
not.
Streaming.
Yeah, apparently not. Huh. Disappointing. Okay.
NCSoft has revealed that Guild Wars 2 will be released sometime in 2011 and has also hinted at the beta being released in 2010.
Right. Although the guy who said that, who was their CEO, I guess, he wasn't very specific. He was kind of talking about a couple different products of theirs. And he said that he assumes, based on the current production, that there would be some kind of beta event in 2010, although he didn't know if it would be open or closed.
Yes.
So hopefully, you know what? I don't care if it's open or closed as long as I get to be in it.
Right.
The rest of you can go spit.
Right. That's yeah. As long as you take care of you.
Right, exactly. Or as Jill St. John said in Diamonds Are Forever, blow up your pants.
That fits here perfectly.
I don't know what that saying even means.
I don't know why you would bring it up. The Xbox 360 wireless N adapter is available this week and can be found on Amazon for $87.99.
Yeah, there was a little weirdness with that where it was for sale and then it was not for sale. Right. And then it was for sale and not for sale. And now it's actually
but, you
officially
know, I don't
for sale.
Know. No, I don't know that it's officially yet. I mean, there,
it is. Newegg has it and it says they're shipping now.
Oh, okay.
So.
Okay, then. Project Natal, the motion-controlled peripheral for the Xbox 360, will launch in November of 2010, along with 14 compatible games.
Hey, that's a year from now.
Yes. No word yet on price, but some sources are reporting, get this, a $50 price tag.
That seems cheap.
It seems totally cheap.
Especially when that stupid wireless N adapter is $90.
And when they came out with that ridiculous, well, I mean, if people like it, maybe it's not ridiculous, but that DJ Hero is $120.
I don't get it.
I don't either.
But that's
I mean,
wild.
Yeah, I'd actually have, you know, that's pretty respectful.
That is cool.
But, you know, it's probably all speculation at
yeah.
this point.
Yeah.
It's a year away. The official release date for Star Trek Online is February 2nd, 2010.
Excellent. I still never tried to go in and get in on the beta for that, which I should be allowed to because I bought that stupid Champions Online 6-month thing.
Yeah.
And I played
How's that
exactly
going,
once.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think it was interesting.
No.
Didn't care. I mean, it's just like the interface is bad. I didn't think the engine performed very well. I just like didn't care.
You should check it out though and see if it's improved at all.
Yeah, I guess I should.
I mean,
I
we
should
are
at least
doing
do that.
The informative podcast
Thank
here
you.
Where
appreciate that.
That kind of thing is, you know,
yeah,
useful information.
Sort of required.
Yeah. In an interview with the Chicago Tribune, Danny Harrison, son of the late Beatle George Harrison, has revealed that he is not only working on Rock Band 3, but that it will go in a new direction. He hinted that the series will now teach players how to actually play the guitar.
Wow. A real guitar or a Rock Guitar Hero guitar?
Probably a Rock Guitar Hero.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
I would guess that it would... you know, I don't
know. I would think that he would mean a real guitar, because isn't that one of the big things about those games is that... Real musicians say, you know, that people who think that
right.
they're good at that are
That's
idiots.
Actually why some artists haven't loaned their music to these games.
Because they think
because
it's
they
a
think,
bad influence on people who...
Well, yeah. It's like, why wouldn't you just, you know, if you're giving this so much of your attention, why would you just put your attention toward actually
Hey, I don't think they should say that. That's more competition for them.
Okay.
In fact, they should encourage people to play the
One
harmonica.
One of the people said that was Prince. Prince won't lend any of his music to those games because of that.
Yeah. Plus, he doesn't like the fact that the guitars that are sold with those games are taller than he is.
Right, exactly. what is this? This is not from me.
So?
You know, but you put it right in the middle. It threw me off.
So?
Electric Playground did an interview with Blizzard exec VP of product development Frank Pierce and production director J. Alan Brack on Cataclysm. So, that's a lot of like titles and stuff.
It is
a
lot of titles.
Lost.
It is a lot of titles.
So
you
what
know,
does that mean? What does any of that
okay,
mean?
So basically they did an interview about Cataclysm. So if you want to learn more about Cataclysm and why they decided to redo the whole world, basically.
What is Cataclysm?
Cataclysm is the third add-on for World of Warcraft that's coming out next year. And it's the one where they are...
Why didn't you put this with my other World of
Warcraft? They are basically destroying the entire world as it exists right now. So the world that's in World of Warcraft right now, for the most part, will be gone a year from now. Now, from reading stuff previously, I know a little bit about why they did this. What's interesting is in the first add-on, Burning Crusade, when you go into Outland, which is, you know, like another realm, basically, it's, you know, it's not on the planet.
Right.
When you go there, you can get a flying mount and you can fly anywhere. And you can only use it there, and you can use it in the second add-on if you pay some extra money for some other stuff. But the reason you can't use flying mounts in the rest of the game is because a lot of the game world is actually fake. I think we talked about this a little bit before. So that was one of the reasons that they chose to redo the world, is because they, you know, have learned a lot from doing the two add-ons, and they wanted to make the world actually full of all the stuff that it looks like it's full of when you're, you know, flying around, traveling between cities. So... But I'm going to go watch the interview because I want to hear what else they have to say about it. And you should do the same.
Yeah.
You, our listeners, not Tony, because he won't do anything.
Yeah, because I won't do anything that I don't want to do.
Exactly.
Media Molecule, makers of Little Big Planet.
Your favorite.
Have stated, it is one of my favorites, have stated that they will not be releasing a sequel to the PlayStation hit. You haven't heard the rest of it.
Okay.
They will instead add to the existing community with more DLC. Future content already confirmed include the addition of water to the Little Big Planet world and support for the upcoming motion controller. So what he says, there's already so many. It's the largest PlayStation community.
Okay.
And there's so many, like, you know, user made.
So why bother starting over?
So why start? Yeah. I mean, it's just. It's the whole Left 4 Dead thing. You know, why upset everyone to have to start over when they can just keep adding to
That's a great idea.
I mean, they made the game that way, so it's customizable and you can keep, you know, adding stuff. I'm so happy about that.
That is really cool.
Blizzard has opened a real money pet store in World of Warcraft where players can purchase their own Pandaren Monk or Little KT, the littlest lich. Is it lich?
So you, as far as I know, So you pay actual real human dollars, otherwise known as US dollars, or dollars in whatever your local currency is, to buy stuff that you use in the game.
Yes.
Okay. These are not actual pets that you can walk around with you in the real world.
Right.
So I can't get a Little KT, the littlest lich pet.
No, but it will be with you on your...
Because if I could do that
during your game
in the real world, I would do that in a heartbeat. Because that'd be like a little teeny skeleton following you around everywhere.
Is that what a lich is?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. It's like a undead, powerful undead sorcerer thing.
And that's what you want as your pet.
Why not? Scare away the other pets.
Yeah.
And from a story you told me at lunch, that might be useful sometimes. Not repeatable on the air,
no,
by the way.
You take this next.
NCSoft reports that Ion has sold nearly a million copies in the US and Europe combined, which is crazy. Good for them, but I don't like the game.
No.
That's all I'm saying about that. And already talked about that.
Yeah.
So we don't need to do that. Okay. That's it for video games. You got anything else?
Nope.
Cool. Then we'll be back in a minute to talk about TV. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about TV, a.k.a. television. What have you seen that I haven't seen?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah. I think we're, other than your little SGU nonsense.
Don't you love it when he does that, where he belittles everything that he doesn't like?
Other than your little space thing, I think we're all pretty much watching the same thing.
Except, didn't you tell me at lunch that you're not really watching Top Chef anymore?
Yeah.
Oh! Oh! What? And what? Chopped is new, by the way.
It is?
Yeah, it's been all new lately. And in fact, last week's was hilarious because there was a guy on there who was so angry and rude that he was like telling off the judges after they chopped him.
That's awesome.
And I mean, it was really uncomfortable because it looked like there was maybe going to be security called in.
Like a throwdown?
Yeah.
It looked like there might have been throwdown.
And there was Bobby Flay wasn't even there. So it was scary in that sense. But no, it's been actually pretty good. What, you know what bugs me about that show, though, is it seems like they only pull people in from New York. Like, there's nobody there from anywhere else. It's like, really? You can't afford a $500 plane ticket for this TV show?
No, they can't.
What's up with that?
Yeah. All the money goes to Ted Allen.
What, for his head inflation fund? I think it's already worked, okay? Guy's head is huge. What are you looking at over there?
Nothing, just looking.
No, you're looking at something.
I'm on the news beat. I'm on the news beat.
Okay, so anyway, so let's talk about V.
Okay.
Okay, so.
Now, let's keep in mind, I have not seen last night's.
Okay, so you were only talking about last week. So what did you think of it overall?
I liked it. I liked it overall. And I like that stuff happens right away.
Yes, that was nice.
But here's my little, and I wouldn't even call it a complaint. Here's just something I've noticed is that because stuff happened right away, I didn't find it as epic. You know what I mean? I don't think we need to go into the rundown of everything that happens, but the whole part when I want to call her Juliet. What's her name?
Elizabeth Mitchell.
Right. What's her name on the show?
Her name is FBI Agent Evans, Erica Evans.
Erica Evans. Is that right?
That is correct.
Do you have it right in front of you there?
I do not.
Wow. You've come with your homework. That part where she goes and she meets that group and she's not sure, you know, what to find out. And then, like, then the aliens are there and they're fighting and all that. I don't know. I thought it was a really cool scene, but... because it wasn't set up a little more, you know, there was no build up to it. So I think I was just not as excited by it as I would have been if there was a little more build up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, because I don't remember. Did you see the original?
Yes.
Okay, so you already knew.
But I don't remember the storyline well.
But you knew what was revealed in that meeting, right?
Right.
Okay. See, now I was watching with Amy, who never saw the original, and she thought that was really cool because she wasn't expecting any of that stuff.
Okay.
Well, so then, I think because you already knew,
right?
Maybe it was a little bit different of an experience for you.
Yeah.
Because she thought that was really neat. And I thought it was pretty cool, too. I liked the little ball thing.
Yeah.
You know,
the spikes.
Yeah. That was pretty scary.
I really liked the part when she cut his face.
Yeah.
And then you could see his eye.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty creepy. And some creepy stuff happened in last night's episode too. You know what I'll say about this, and this applies not just to V, but also to Flash Forward. We were talking about this last night after we watched V, is that it's really difficult now to watch these kind of shows and enjoy them more than we are. Because of how good Lost is.
Right. I completely agree. And you know what? Every time I watch these, when they're done, I think to myself, I'm not getting quite the satisfaction I did after an episode of Lost.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with the fact that Lost is extremely well-rounded in terms of its characters,
totally.
Story, and humor. And all of these new shows are missing that element of humor that is done so naturally and so well in Lost.
That's more important to you than it is to me. Because I think sometimes if done wrong, it'll completely ruin the show.
Right, but what I'm saying is Lost does it right. I mean, the humor that Hurley and Sawyer add to the show fits in really, really well. And even stuff that happens sometimes from Locke or, you know, some of the other characters who are not normally funny, but the way that the sarcasm is used and the way that those characters add a little levity to the situation that they're in really makes that show feel a lot more real and a lot more, I think, maybe epic and important than it would if that stuff wasn't going on in there.
Right. I agree with you. Part of the thing, like not getting the same satisfaction as we do from Lost, I wish I could think back to how I... Let's keep in mind that the pilot for Lost was amazing.
It was.
So right from the beginning, it had us. Whereas if I compare it to Flash Forward, Flash Forward took a few episodes to get going.
Sure.
But I have to say, I'm enjoying Flash Forward and look forward to Flash Forward a lot more now that I've gotten to know those characters.
Right.
I assume the same will happen to V. So I wish I could kind of tune in to where I was thinking... like in the second half of the first season of Lost to see how that would compare to how I am with these shows now.
Yeah. See, I think we, and I think a lot of people got hooked on Lost immediately because there were so many questions and there were no answers for so long. And they just kept adding new questions and new questions and new questions. And everything that was revealed was just as mysterious.
Right. Well, you know what? I have to say Flash Forward is,
I think it's
doing
a pretty
good job
at
that. Yeah.
But the acting is so cheesy, and that element of humor and that element of like sort of subtle realism I think is totally missing from Flash Forward. And that's disappointing because the story so far is actually kind of intriguing.
Right. Well, let's segue into Flash Forward and talk about like last week's episode. Because I thought last week's episode, I think each episode keeps getting better.
Yeah.
I loved last week's episode. And I really thought that, oh, I wish I had the character's name. The one who, do we spoil it? I mean, people have seen it, right?
Who? I don't know what you're going to say, though. So I don't know who you're talking about.
How the episode ended.
I saw
last week's episode, right?
Yeah, but I don't remember. I don't know what you're going to say.
Someone had changed their future by.
Right. Yes.
Should we say it?
Sure.
Because people have seen it, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's fine. I mean, it's going to be on again tomorrow.
There's a character, and do you know his name?
I don't. But I can't remember his name.
He was the other cop who was working with them.
Yeah, the younger black guy.
Right. And he realizes in his flash, or he sees in his flash forward that someone, and he doesn't know this person personally. Her name is Celia. Doesn't know her personally. He knows that she has two young boys.
Right.
And because of him, and he doesn't even know how, she is like hanging on to life. And in his flash forward, he sees that she dies.
Right.
So in order for that not to happen, he, at the end of the episode,
He kills himself. By throwing himself off the roof of the FBI building.
Right.
Now, let me ask you this, because when he was up there, we were thinking that he was going to throw himself off the building and like land on her car
or do something that was actually going to
cause it.
Right.
But then we realized we were wrong because in his flash forward, he was talking to that British agent in London.
Right.
So there's no way that if he actually killed himself and caused that to happen, that he would have been there 6 months from now to talk to her. So, but at first we were like, well, is what he's going to do actually going to cause his future to come true?
Right. I thought the same thing.
But yeah. So it was pretty.
Because what's really cool about that, now he's changed, because that's the first thing we've seen where something has changed. Like, there's no way now that will happen.
Right. For sure.
So maybe then it opens all this, you know, mystery. Maybe it's possible that John Cho's character won't die.
Well, and it also opens up the possibility that all the people who have had flash forwards are seeing different futures. Because let's put it this way. If two people saw each other and the same thing in their future, that doesn't mean the future they saw is the same as two other people's future that they were both in. You know what I mean?
Right.
So they could have all been seeing possible futures, but we're not sure which one is going to happen. Like, for instance, with John Cho's character, he saw nothing and his wife saw him on the beach at their wedding.
Now, do you really think she saw him?
Well, it wasn't clear from the last episode.
No, because to me,
the first time,
I think she just assumes it's him, but I think it was someone. I think she's marrying someone else in her flesh.
Oh, really?
That's what I'm getting from it.
Yeah, could be. So that guy, and you got to figure that's happening in other places on the planet too, where people have seen especially terrible things that they don't want to be a part of.
Right.
So that you figure some people are going to actually go to extreme measures to keep that future from happening. But that was pretty intense. And then in the scenes from next week, wasn't there another?
Well, the, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
Sure. Aaron.
Sees his daughter.
He walks into his house and his daughter is sitting there. She's like, hi, daddy.
Right.
Like as if nothing's going on. So.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying it. I'm like I said, after each episode, I get more excited about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just wish Joe Fiennes' acting wasn't so.
Yeah.
What it is.
Jack Bauer.
Now, let me ask you a question. Do you like
but
really
without the need for urgency?
Do you really like or care about or connect with any of the characters on that show, in particular?
That's a good question.
Like really,
maybe the wife.
Yeah, I was gonna say like really the doctor is the only person I really like.
That's a good point. That's a good point.
Isn't that kind
of
weird? And I actually kind of like Lloyd Simcoe too, the autistic boy's dad.
Yeah.
I mean, even though we know he's a bad guy, I kind of like him. For some reason.
That's a good point, too. Yeah.
But it's interesting.
Yeah.
And it'll be really cool to see what happens tomorrow night. So The Office last week was pretty funny. There was a double date with Michael and Pam's mom and then Jim and Pam. And it was pretty funny when Pam was trying to get out of going on the date by pretending she had a phone call.
Right.
And then Jim, you know, hanging up on her pretend phone call.
Yeah, it was a good episode. My only issue with it, and I know we've discussed it already, is I just felt it was a little out of character for Dwight. I felt Dwight.
Yeah, but I got the sense that you didn't really pick up on the fact that he had an agenda with that whole thing of bringing in the bagels. When I told you that, you seemed like it wasn't familiar to you. Because he actually said that the reason he brought in bagels for everyone was to get everyone on his good side so that he could rally them all together to overthrow Jim and take his position. And so,
but even that, because it seems out of character for Dwight.
Because he wanted them to owe him a favor so that he could call in his favor by getting them to kick Jim out of his spot.
Right.
And so when Andy, because Andy refuses to be outdone with politeness, when Andy kept trying to one-up Dwight with, you know, with niceness, it like threw off Dwight's whole plan. And I thought that part of it was actually kind of funny because it was very consistent
for Andy.
But did
you think they took it so far that you didn't think Dwight would have gone that far with it?
I think Dwight's craziness, it was appropriate.
Spirit of competition.
Right. And the fact that he thinks he's always right.
Right.
So I thought from that standpoint, it was appropriate. I didn't mind it.
I didn't think
it was that funny.
I guess when
except
you put
in,
it that way, it's... Yeah.
I didn't mind it as much as you did. I thought it was funny. I thought the whole thing with... Because what happened is Michael... Like, it finally hits Michael how old Pam's mom really is.
Right.
And so then he decides he doesn't want to date her anymore because she's too old. And it was just a typical
Very
Michael
funny.
Scott train wreck and
Very funny.
That was
and
great.
And what was... So funny about it, well, not funny, but ironic about it, was right at that moment when he realizes he doesn't want to be with her is right at the moment when Pam is acceptant of the fact that they're dating.
Because his mom's actually happy dating him.
And she could see, well, up until that moment, that he really cared about her.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was pretty funny. I mean, that part of it was pretty funny. Then Modern Family last week was...
That's when Manny is fencing.
That's right. That was actually really funny. So Manny is fencing, and it turns out he's really good at it. And so he moves up in these, you know, competitions to where he has to fight. The next person he has to fight is a girl.
Right.
And it turns out that she's like an orphan, and she's got some dread disease. And it's like all this stuff.
I love how they get just piling stuff on.
It was so funny.
I love it.
It was
and
so
the
funny.
Very last thing, like Manny ends up beating her in the competition. And so Claire turns to the who is it? Like the head of the orphanage?
The children's home or something, yeah.
And it says to her, well, I guess you're going to go out for ice cream now. No, she's diabetic.
Of course she is. Yeah, that Fantastic. Was really funny. And then there was a subplot about how Mitchell is really bitter because Claire quit figure skating because they used to skate pairs. And so, you know, so he's mad at her because she quit and they never got to sort of like realize their potential as skaters. And so, you know, he kind of has words with her about it and she tells him he's being stupid. And then, and I forget exactly what some of the details were, but it eventually comes out that the reason he was really upset is because he missed doing stuff with his sister. And so then she felt bad and she thought that was really sweet. So then they start doing this goofy thing where they're like enacting, you know, acting out one of their old routines together in the parking lot outside the fencing tournament. And what I thought was one of the great, you know, because every week the show ends with, you know, something sweet. There was a joke that Jay didn't know if he was going to display Manny's trophy from the fencing match because of the fact that he beat this poor girl who has all these things wrong with her. But in the end, he does. He puts it on his mantle. And the camera like kind of pans down and you see that he's got a photograph in a frame on his mantle of his kids skating from when they were kids.
Which was very funny.
That was very cool because Mitchell thought that, you know, their dad didn't care about him skating or just thought it was stupid or whatever.
Right. I wanted to mention, remember we were speculating on who would play Manny's father?
Yes. Has it been revealed?
Yes.
And?
Benjamin Bratt.
Huh.
I think it'll be great.
That's an interesting choice.
Why?
Have they talked about why they split up?
No.
Okay.
But I read that, you know, there was a couple page article in Entertainment Weekly on Modern Family and they talked about.
Yeah. That's interesting. Edward, yeah, I like him too.
Edward Norton's coming on a future episode as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As the Hulk?
No. I don't remember. It was a funny storyline though.
Oh, okay. Oh, that should be interesting. That's pretty cool. And did you have any comments you wanted to make about Sofia Vergara in last week's episode?
A huge wreck. Huge.
Okay, there you go. And then
now you're gonna talk about your little space show.
Yeah, I'll talk about my little space show. Thanks, Tony. So in Stargate Universe, you know, there's this thing that this device that was introduced in one of the other series, these communication stones that the ancients used, where you have two sets of stones, and there's a device that the stones are placed on, and then whoever is using the two sets of stones, those people swap consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So it's basically a super long range communication tool because it works across the entire universe, basically. So they've been using these so that people on the ship can communicate with people on Earth, because they're like a billion light years from Earth.
Right.
And what was really fantastic about last week's episode was that they pretty much did an exact scenario that people always joke around about, which is that Young, who's sort of the head military guy on the ship, he's estranged from his wife, and so he goes to visit her, and they're having sex, and there's a glitch with the communication stones, and they go back to each other's own bodies. So now his wife is having sex with Lou Diamond Phillips. And I mean, she was seeing Lou Diamond Phillips because they don't change visually.
Right.
But she knew that it was her husband that was inside.
Right.
So I mean, neither one of them said anything to her. But now there's this issue where she's, you know, was having sex basically with Lou Diamond Phillips' right. character. And it's going to come up in this week's episode.
I didn't even know Lou Diamond Phillips was on the show.
Yeah, he's kind of a jerk on the show. He's still back on Earth and he's trying to sort of take over the mission. You know, remotely.
So maybe he's the bad guy.
He's a bad guy.
But he's not
the bad guy. No, supposedly, I want to say that this week we're actually going to be introduced to...
Really?
...the bad guy. Or something close.
Well, that's great. It's 7 episodes later.
They got to do something. I mean, there are definitely aspects of the show that I'm really enjoying. And I do, you know, I have to say they're very good at making characters that you like. Because there are a lot of characters who I kind of like already on the show.
Uh-huh.
Not as much as the other two shows.
Right.
But I mean, especially compared with something like Flash Forward, where I really don't care about anybody
right.
I mean, that much. You know, I think they do a good job of that. So, yeah, so that's that. It was pretty funny, though. It was a good episode.
It's cute.
So rude.
Should we move on to miscellaneous?
Yeah, go.
I'm going to start with the new stuff I have. Dollhouse has been canceled.
Wah, wah.
You stopped watching.
I haven't watched it at all
this
season.
Which reminds me, I stopped watching Heroes. Have you still been watching Heroes?
Yes, although we haven't seen this week's yet.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it because my friend Todd's going to be on it.
Oh, that's right. You know what? I'll watch it then,
yeah.
Especially if we're going to talk to him. If he doesn't want to do an interview with us, then no, I won't watch.
Thanks for your support. Hope he's not listening right now.
He's not.
He might be.
So Dollhouse has been canceled.
Yeah.
Anything else? Any last words for Dollhouse? You suck.
Not really. No, I mean, you know, I just.
Yeah.
I just didn't care. I you know, I would much rather have been watching Sarah Connor
Chronicles.
I think
it was your best entertainment moment at least once.
Was it?
I think so. We'll have to review it. Woody, review the tapes.
Okay. I thought it was Corky.
Corky. I couldn't remember.
Corky, Woody, what's the difference?
Another new thing that's not on the list here. Robert Patrick will join the cast of Chuck halfway through the season.
Excellent.
And will play a mysterious figure in Casey's past.
Ooh.
There you go.
Wow.
That's for you.
That's excellent.
Any
Chuck news is good news, except news that it's not being
canceled.
Picked up. Yeah, that would be the only bad news, but I can't imagine that's going to happen because there's so much momentum behind it now. You know, yeah. It's coming back early. It's got extra episodes. You got Robert Patrick. It's all good.
It's your cute little show. I like that.
Oh, that's really rude. I mean, that really is rude. I'm just saying.
Fox will release the Family Guy parody of The Empire Strikes Back titled Something, Something, Something Dark Side on DVD December 22nd, the same week that it will air on TV.
Aha!
I love the first one.
Yeah,
love Blue
it
Harvest,
was very funny.
The one on Star Wars.
Yeah, it was very funny.
The top three male earners on television are reality stars.
That's crazy.
Simon Cowell, Donald Trump, and Ryan Seacrest are the biggest money makers, not only from the shows that they appear on, but from the shows that they produce. Rounding out the top five are Charlie Sheen and Steve Carell.
Wow. I'm really surprised that Steve Carell is on that list. So all five of those people make more money than David Letterman.
Yes.
That seems strange to me. Wouldn't you think that like either Letterman or Leno would be on that list?
Let me see if it gives. I didn't put amounts. Let me see.
I like the way you say the top three male earners are these three people, and that. Oh, and then you said rounding out the top five. Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna say, and then rounding out the list was. I'm confused.
What?
Never mind. Forget it.
Let's see. Is Letterman on there? Simon Cowell made $75 million.
Unbelievable.
Donald Trump made $50 million.
Just from the TV stuff, not from any of his other businesses. Right. Okay.
Ryan Seacrest made $38 million.
Unbelievable.
Charlie Sheen made $21 million.
And unbelievable.
Steve Carell made $20 million.
Unbelievable.
At number six was Howie Mandel, who made $15 million thanks to his game show Deal or No Deal.
Yeah.
And his dumb NBC prank reality series, How We Do It.
Oh my God, that show is terrible.
It's the worst.
It's so bad.
The worst.
You know, that show makes Jamie Kennedy look like
a
Einstein.
Genius.
I mean, it's insane. It's insane how bad that show is.
I agree.
Oh Lord.
Roland Emmerich has announced plans to create a series based on his about-to-be-released film, 2012.
What?
Yep.
Well, huh? Why would he do that?
I don't know.
That's really weird. And then I read something today about the movie that I didn't know before, and that I didn't want to know.
It's ruined it for you, hasn't it?
It's kind of ruined it a little bit.
Although, are you going to ruin it for everyone else? Or
No, I'm not going to repeat it. Although I will say that it's actually better than what the alternative would be if this element wasn't in the story. So I'm glad that it's in the story.
Is this a big spoiler? Or?
Well, I don't want to say because people might not know. I'm just going to say that I'm glad that it's in the story, but I would rather have not known it.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Lastly, and I'd save this for last,
okay,
just because it really is lastly, Inside Edition has caught the reality show Cheaters cheating. A couple says that they were paid to pretend to cheat. Even the most memorable episode, where host Joey Greco gets stabbed, has been reported to have been staged.
Well, I think that's been known for a long time that show was fake.
Has it?
That it was all just a drama, basically.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, there were a lot of tells and giveaways.
Right. Well, there was one thing I read about this girl who, like, she was an actress and she got booked to do it and, like, didn't even know the people playing her boyfriend or the one she was supposed to be cheating with.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I remember because I've seen like two or three episodes of that, you know, years ago. And I remember even watching it, you could tell that there was some shenanigans going on.
It's one of those shows that like I don't like, but if I happen to turn it on, like if I happen to like and surfing and like,
yeah,
it comes on,
you'll watch it.
I end up watching the rest of it.
Yeah,
and then I hate myself for it.
I can't watch it.
The music
it.
Alone is grating to me.
I can't watch it.
Yeah.
I wish I could remember what it was that first tipped me off to the fact that it was fake. I can't remember now. And then we did a little research on it, and it was like, yeah, it's all staged. Right. But, well, poo-poo on them, okay?
Yeah.
Reality shows have enough of a bad rap without being fake. Reality.
Right.
Or something like that.
All right.
Should we just
we're
move
done
on?
Here.
Okay,
yeah.
We're done with TV. We'll be back in a minute to talk about movies. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about movies. You were just saying that on Amazon.
Well, it's their gold box sale, so
sure, the gold
it won't
box.
Be going on when people listen to this.
Oh.
But right now they are offering the Die Hard collection on Blu-ray, which is all four movies, for $38. And you were saying how you would only buy that just for the first and the last movie.
No, I was saying I wasn't saying that I would buy it for those. I was
no,
saying that
saying
I think
those...
only the first and the last movies were good enough to own. And you said you don't even like the last movie. And I
no, let me rephrase that. Let me rephrase your total lie.
Okay. Please do.
What I said was I enjoyed
this
it.
This is the
I
political
had a good
portion of our show.
But it was so implausible,
yeah,
that it was like it was.
Well, did you like True Lies or no? Because that was equally implausible and for many of the same reasons.
Yeah, but it didn't take itself as serious.
That's absolutely true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true. And there was one thing in the last Die Hard movie that I really, really disliked because I thought it was very out of character for McClane. And that's after he killed the Asian girl who was the bad guy's girlfriend.
Right.
And then he's talking to the bad guy on the phone and he makes some really snotty comment about how he's going to have to get a new Asian girlfriend. And I forget the exact dialogue, But it was like a really mean-spirited comment that he made. And I don't like it when the good guys say stuff like that. You know what I mean? Especially a good guy who you already know and like.
Right.
They're not supposed to be like that.
Okay.
What? Do you know what I mean, though?
Yeah. He hurt your feelings.
No. He destroyed a little piece of his own character.
Oh.
Well, it's true.
Yeah. Do you have anything more to say about Die Hard?
No, I don't.
Okay.
So I still haven't seen any movies. I've been so busy, and there's been no babysitters available.
I need
so
to go
nothing.
Through all our past transcripts to see the last time you actually saw a movie.
It's like a month and a half ago, at least. At least.
Yeah,
I think.
I didn't see a movie in the theater this week. I did, though, take advantage of my PS3 Netflix disc, and I watched a documentary on the history of...
Remember, there's really no such thing as a documentary.
Oh, whatever.
Okay.
This one was on the history of the Macintosh, or the history of Apple computers.
Really?
In general, called Welcome to Macintosh.
Uh-huh.
No, you know, I'm not, I don't have a Macintosh.
Right.
I
you don't have anything against Macintosh? Some of your best friends are Macintosh?
No, well, I mean, I don't hate Apple as much as you do.
Right.
But I certainly see that, you know, they're kind of a cult.
Yeah.
And this movie certainly solidifies that for me. These people are crazy. There's a lot of Microsoft bashing.
Gee, that's a shocker.
There's one guy. If anyone has any interest in seeing this, it's worth seeing just for this one guy. There's one guy that used to work for Apple that they interview. His name is Jim Reeks.
Okay.
And
of what?
Of just bitterness over Apple. He does nothing but talk like very negatively, but like kind of. Like in a funny way,
yeah.
Just about his experience with Apple, and there's one part when they were talking about the fanatics and how people almost consider like Apple to be like a religion, and he goes off about just how ridiculous that is. He goes, "It's a computer. People are getting so fanatical over a computer." He's like, "I could see if it was like a good movie, but it's a computer." It's funny.
That is really funny. I get into a little bit of a discussion. There's a blog that I read that's written by some Disney Imagineers. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't know if you know what that is. Those are the people who come up with all the different like themes and things for the parks. And so they're, you know, they're artists and engineers and kind of, you know, show designers and stuff like that. They're creators of fun, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's this sort of general perception from a lot of people that Disney as a company has lost a lot of the edge that it had when Walt was still alive, because there were things that he cared a lot about that the company since his death has not put as much of a priority on, you know, because it's all about making money now.
Right.
Whereas before, there were certain things that he was willing to not make as much money on in order to do something of very high quality.
So it's an integrity thing.
It's an right. It's not just in terms of the product, but also artistic integrity,
right,
and integrity of vision and that sort of thing. And so that's what this blog is all about. And there was somebody in there who said, you know, the Disney isn't really that company anymore. The only company that's like that is Apple. And so I kind of got into it with these people. I'm saying, well, you know, I don't really see Steve Jobs as the same kind of visionary that Walt Disney was. I mean, Disney created all of this stuff that simply didn't exist before. I said, Jobs is very good at marketing, and he's pretty good at taking things that maybe didn't go together before and massaging them into something that's, you know, better in certain ways,
right,
than what came before it. But I certainly don't think he didn't invent the GUI. He didn't invent the mouse. He didn't invent MP3.
Though they take credit for it in that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
He didn't invent MP3 players. I mean, he didn't invent any of this stuff.
Right.
He just, you know, makes it a little different, and a lot of people think a little bit better or a lot better than how other people do it.
I think you would enjoy this documentary because it also talks about how they had lost some of their, well, not lost, but how it wasn't until they got together with the designer who designs all their stuff,
yeah,
that they started to take off again. Because, and then they showed some of their older computers and just how ugly they were.
Well, did you see that story online last week about how Steve Jobs hated the name iPod and he wanted to call it something else? And the guy who came up with the name iPod, who kept telling him, no, trust me, this is the name you want to go with. You know, he basically put it through that way, even though Jobs told him not to. And apparently the name that Jobs had for the iPod was so terrible that
what
they won't even say what it
is.
Wouldn't you love to know?
I would love to know.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really think you would enjoy this. I think you should watch this just to see the crazies.
Yeah.
Because there are some crazies.
Oh, I've seen the crazies. I used to work with the crazies.
There's one guy that they go to his house. He's a collector. He collects everything Apple and like all old Macs and stuff.
Yeah.
He's got like just tons and tons. His attic is full. His shed is full. Just like, what's he ever going to do with any of it?
Yeah. I actually have a couple.
I know you like to collect as well, but yeah. No, this guy puts you to
no,
shame.
No, 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 I'm sure. The only thing I have is I have a couple of old Apple IIgs computers. Uh-huh. It was a really great computer for playing games on. You know, I don't think the experience is quite what it used to be.
Right.
I'm just saying. Even though I outfitted one of them with essentially a hard drive, which, you know, the Apple II series never had a hard drive.
Right.
I mean, the first Mac didn't have a hard drive. So I put a RAM drive in it, which is, it's a card that goes into the Apple IIgs that you can put a flash memory card into.
Mm-hmm.
And basically use it as a hard drive. But there were so many funky limitations of the Apple IIgs's operating system that the memory card has to be broken up into a bunch of like logical drives because it can't use more than so much, you know, so many megabytes per drive. So if it's like 8 megabytes or something like that and you put a 256, you know, megabyte card in it or whatever, you know, it's broken up right. into all these different things. But yeah, I mean, it was a better computer than the Mac, than the first Mac. It was color. It had a GUI just like the Mac did. It had stereo sound, and it was half the price. And Apple basically stopped marketing it because they wanted everyone to buy the Mac.
Right.
Greedy bastards.
Watch the movie.
Yep.
It's not long either. It's just like 1 hour and 10 minutes or something.
Yeah.
Got anything else before we get into miscellaneous?
I wish I did, but I don't.
It's all right. Maybe next week.
Maybe.
Hope
Springs. Yeah, we're trying to get a babysitter so we can go see 2012.
Yeah, let's try to on Friday. See that and
yeah.
We'll meet back here and we'll talk about it.
Exactly. But for sure we're going to see Avatar together, right?
Yes.
Okay, good.
We will see that together.
All right.
Speaking of, the New York Times has reported that after marketing and everything, Avatar will have a total cost of $500 million.
That is insane.
How are they going to recoup that?
That is insane.
I mean,
Here's what I read that didn't make any sense. Is they said, so they're going to have to do $250 million in ticket sales to get their money back. It's like, how do you do $250 million in ticket sales and recoup twice that much?
Right.
I'm not really sure how that math works. Maybe it's like space math.
Maybe merchandising.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. But that's crazy talk.
Yeah.
This movie had better be good. Wow. That's all I'm saying. Because as far as I'm concerned, the last good movie he made was True Lies.
Oh, okay. I know you didn't like Titanic, but Titanic was a well-made film.
It was a well-crafted film. I did not think it was a good movie. I did not think it was enjoyable.
But for many, it was. Obviously, it was like it's like the biggest grossing movie of all time.
Yeah, I'm not saying people didn't like it. I'm saying I didn't like it. That's why I said, as far as I'm concerned, the last good movie he made was True Lies.
As far as you're concerned.
Yes.
And apparently you're not very concerned.
Well, I'm concerned about being entertained and not much else.
Well, you should go back and watch your little space program.
That's so rude.
Warner Brothers has released a trailer for their remake of Clash of the Titans starring Sam Worthington.
Ooh.
That guy works a lot.
Really?
Liam Neeson and Ralph Fiennes.
Have you? Oh, hopefully his acting's better than his brother's. Have you seen the trailer?
I have not.
Oh, I want to see that.
This is a news item from today. So,
how long does it take to watch a 30-second trailer?
I was preparing.
Okay. But anyway, I'm excited to see that. I hope that's good.
I hope you're equally as excited about this next bit of news.
Oh, what's that?
Steve Guttenberg has revealed that he will reunite with Tom Selleck and Ted Danson for a third Three Men and a Baby sequel entitled Three Men and a Bride, where the three men will give away their little baby Mary.
Oh, my God. You know, I never saw that movie.
I never saw them either.
Oh,
and we actually worked together at the theater when those came out.
We did?
Well, when one of them came out. I don't remember which one
there
it was.
There were three of those movies already?
No, this will be the third.
Oh.
There was Three Men and a Baby and Three Men and a Little Lady. That's right.
Wow. So yeah. When did Three Men and a Baby come out? I mean, it would the girl actually be old enough now to be getting married?
Oh, I'm sure.
Was it 20 years ago?
I'm sure.
Or something like that?
Let's see.
Wow.
Who would agree to do that?
Apparently, Steve Guttenberg, Tom Selleck, and Ted Danson.
I believe Steve Guttenberg would agree to do that.
Yeah, even Ted Danson I could see.
No, Ted Danson, is his career is bigger now than it's ever been.
Really?
Oh, my God. He's on like 3 different TV shows.
What?
He's
what
on
shows?
Damages. He's on Damages with Glenn Close. He's on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and he's on that one with Jason Schwartzman on HBO.
Wow.
He's all over the place.
I have not seen him since Cheers.
87. So the girl would be 22.
Wow. That's crazy.
If, you know,
I wonder if it's going to be played by the same girl.
If Three Men and a Baby time is the same as real time.
Right.
Yeah.
She might be 66 if it's 3 times faster.
But yet the fathers are only like 20 years
do
older.
Do you think it's the same girl?
I don't think so.
That would actually be really cool if you were a fan of the first movie.
Unless the girl is like really fat now and like...
That is the most horrible thing you have said all program. Why would that make
Program's
a difference?
Program's not over.
Why would that make a difference?
I'm saying that they wouldn't cast her if that were the case. If
why?
They, if okay, suppose they're like,
so somebody's
hey,
a little bit heavy. They're not
the
allowed to.
They're
not allowed to find love.
No, I'm all about the love, but it would take all 3 of them to actually give her away.
My God, that is so mean.
I don't mean that.
Are you sure?
I am sure.
Okay.
I don't mean that.
Okay, good.
Rachel McAdams is rumored to be in negotiations to star as the Black Cat in Spider-Man 4, which would be the next villain.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not really up on the Spider-Man mythos myself.
Oh, okay.
Apparently,
bad guy or good guy?
Villain.
Oh, sorry.
Girl, because Rachel
is
a girl.
Oh, well, you didn't say...
Rachel
McAdams.
Right,
but you didn't say villain. You just said to star as the Black Cat.
I know. Well, I'm telling you.
Okay.
She would be a villain.
Okay.
And apparently, I looked a little at, you know... at the history of that character, and apparently she kind of she's
flirts.
A tortured soul like Peter Parker, so she kind of falls
he's
for
a
him.
Tortured soul.
I guess
why is he tortured?
Well, he has struggles over his MJ. I don't
wow
know.
There's so many directions I could go with right. jokes, but I won't.
Theater owners are up in arms over the MPAA seeking government approval of technology that would allow studios to deliver first-run movies directly into American households on their televisions.
Okay. I guess it's a legitimate concern on their part, because I, for one, would never want to see a movie for the first time, a big movie,
at home.
For the first time at home.
Right.
Ever.
And that's their argument. That's their argument. They're saying it's for the people who just don't make it out to the theaters. They say, if anything, it'll help. Because
I think they're right. Because look at all the movies that we don't get to see when they're in the theater because, well, it's not going to help the theater owners.
No, but they say that I mean, they really stretched it. Think about it. If you saw a movie, suppose, like, well, you're not that person because you try to see movies as much as possible. But suppose, you know, you're
except for
some
the last 6
Joe
weeks.
Schmo who works at the office, and you hear from someone who at their house watched a movie, and by word of mouth, this movie got big. It would bring more people in the theaters to see it.
Or it would bring more people to watch it at home.
Well, no, but not everyone will be able to do that. They say it'll be at a cost.
Well, yeah, but still, if there are people who don't like the theater experience... But those people probably aren't going now anyway. So I don't think the theaters should complain.
But if they hear from a guy at work that, oh, this movie's great, you got to go see it, they might be a little more apt to go to the theater and
absolutely.
See it.
But how is that different than hearing that from a guy who went to the theater and saw it rather than a guy who saw it?
Because people would see the movie.
Yeah. No, that's probably true.
I mean, of course, the studios have nothing but to gain from it.
Sure, the studios would make out like bandits, even more than they do now.
Right. Sony Pictures, oh, you'll love this. Sony Pictures has acquired the rights to the board game Risk.
Oh my God. What is going on? Are you kidding me? What's next, the rights to the game Hangman?
I love it.
I mean, this trend is just absurd.
I knew you would love that.
Absurd. Didn't somebody pick up the rights to Rubik's Cube as a movie?
I don't know.
I mean, this is just
but,
ridiculous.
You know, I have
risk?
To say, Risk.
Risk.
I,
my God.
I have to say, Clue was very entertaining.
You saw that movie?
Yeah.
I never saw it.
I don't think I saw all 3 endings.
It
remember it had 3
dumb.
Different endings?
Yeah. It looked dumb.
And you could like call your theater and see which ending they had?
Really?
Yeah.
They didn't show
there
all 3?
Ending...
Like in different theaters
no.
or something?
The, well, I mean, if they were showing in 3 different screens, but
yeah.
there was like ending A, B, and C.
Stupid.
No, but what's cool is if you buy it on DVD, I'm sure it includes all 3 endings.
Yeah. Yeah, that's probably true.
I don't know that it's really cool, though. Zach Galifianakis. Say that with me once.
Zach Galifianakis.
Will be the voice
I thought it was Galifianakis.
Not by how it's spelled.
Galifianakis.
And I copy and pasted that, which is why the font
Galifianakis.
Is different. Okay, close enough. He will be the voice of Humpty Dumpty in the Shrek spinoff Puss in Boots. The prequel will also feature Antonio Banderas and Salma Hayek.
Will it feature Salma Hayek with a little trapdoor in her pajamas so we get to see her butt again?
What?
She was in some movie where she was on, it was like one of those, you know, Shanghai Noon movies or something. And she was on a train and she had pajamas. You know how they had those old time pajamas right. with the little trapdoor in the back?
So you could poop.
Right. Thanks. People could have gotten that without you saying it.
I know.
Okay. And she walked away and you could see her butt through the pajamas. So that's why I was asking if there was going to be a repeat of that.
It's a kids movie.
So?
Warner Brothers is in production.
And Shanghai Noon wasn't? That certainly wasn't adult humor in that movie. I'll tell you that right now.
Warner Brothers is in production on a big screen adaptation of Yogi Bear featuring Anna Faris, Dan Aykroyd, and Justin Timberlake.
I hope Anna Faris is not playing Yogi.
No. I know nothing more than that. And the next Academy Awards ceremony will
be hosted. Wait, so I wonder who's going to play Yogi. You think Dan Aykroyd?
Dan Aykroyd.
And you think Justin will be Boo Boo?
Maybe. I'm sure it's going to be animated.
Right. But I'm wondering who's going to do the voices.
I don't know.
I'm just wondering if Justin Timberlake can do a good boo-boo.
I don't know.
Okay, Yogi.
Boo-boo, baby. Smarter than the average bear. You hadn't done a voice up till now. I think that's a record. The next Academy Awards ceremony will be hosted by Alec Baldwin and Steve Martin.
I don't know what I think about that.
Alec Baldwin, I think, will be
I'm
great.
Good. Steve Martin, ever since hearing the story about his horribleness.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want him on
Did
anything.
Did I tell you that story?
I think so.
Yeah.
Isn't that what I'm referring to?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. I mean, it's all Steve Martin. For Steve Martin, it's all scripted, so
It's stupid anyway. I mean, the show is just always dumb.
No. You know how I love my Oscars.
That's fine. You can love your Oscars. I just think it's a dumb show.
I don't
care about 95% of what happens on that show. And I'm not talking about the awards. I mean, just tell me who won. I'll be like, yay. But, I mean,
the show's not for you.
What actually?
You can watch your little space program.
I set you up for that. I hope you're happy.
I know.
Okay. I was holding up a picture of the Stargate so that he would know to make a joke
about it. No, you weren't.
Come on. That was funny. Don't blow the cover.
Should we...
don't expose the man behind the curtain.
Should we do the password now?
The password is...
Are we doing it now?
Yeah. That's why I said that. The password is...
Janky.
Janky. The password is janky. So remember, send us an email to podcastatpause.com with that password and your mailing address if you would like to enter the contest to win a one-year subscription to Entertainment Weekly.
Now, if you do not send us the word or your address, you will not be eligible.
Immediately disqualified, and there's really no other consequence.
No.
You could probably even just send us another email,
bad,
and you'll be
it?
Fine. But, so there you go. The password is janky. And if you don't know how to spell it, that's probably okay, too.
But
I mean, if we get
for all
elephant,
intents and purposes, I spell
it. It has to be close.
J-A-N-K-Y.
Really?
Yeah. That's how I would spell it.
Oh. Okay.
Why? How would you spell it?
I-E.
Well, we'll take either spelling.
Yeah. We're not sticklers for spelling of janky. No. Okay, so that's it for movies, and the password is janky. And we will be back in a minute to talk about everything else. Okay, we're back, and it's time to talk about everything else in the old mashup.
The moosh moosh.
There you go. You know, it's really weird. You know, for months, when I compile this part of the show, there's like 2 pages worth of stuff.
Yes.
And I have barely anything this time. It just was a slow week as far as stuff.
Yeah.
So I'm a little disappointed in that. You know, there's a couple good things in here, but nothing I don't think that's going to knock your socks off. Well, this first one's kind of interesting. VW has taken over the number one car maker spot from Toyota, who not too long ago took it over from GM. You have to consider...
Is that in the world?
Yes, in the entire world. Now, you have to consider that VW is not just VW, but VW, Porsche, Audi... Lamborghini, Bentley, and I think maybe one more that I'm forgetting that's only in Europe. But they have, obviously they have a lot of brands. And so now that they're the number one car maker in the world, I don't know what that gets them. But I got to say, they make some nice looking products. You know, a lot of the Volkswagens are pretty nice looking, but mm-hmm. it's just they have a reputation for being a little janky.
Really?
Yeah. So, because like I told you, we were looking at that Tiguan.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's a little scary of a concept to think about buying one of those just because the janky factor.
Right.
Isn't that a TV show on CNN, The Janky Factor? It's a political finance show, something like that, I think, maybe.
They stole my show.
They really did. The multi-pin digital pinball machine is a 17-game virtual pinball machine in a real pinball cabinet, but with a virtual playfield on a giant-ass screen. Of course, it's available from Hammacher Schlemmer, and it costs $6,000. That kind of defeats the purpose of pinball, though, don't you think? Because with pinball, it's all about the tactility and, like, feeling, you know, feeling the game. You got to feel the game to play it.
Right. I don't really understand what it does.
The playfield is not physical. It's just a screen.
Oh.
So it's basically like playing a pinball machine on the computer,
yeah,
except you're playing it in an actual pinball machine.
That's stupid.
Especially for $6,000.
Right.
If it was $600, I might say okay, but not for $6,000. Super Talent has the first USB 3.0 flash drive. It's available in 32, 64, and 128 gig sizes. No prices yet, but it should be about 10 times faster than a USB 2 flash drive, which is awesome. That's so cool. I can't wait until that's prevalent on all computers.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The Large Hadron Collider. Is it Hadron or Hadron? I always say Hadron.
We'll go
I hope
with
it's
Hadron.
Not Hadron. The LHC was shut down because of a speck of bread was dropped into it, probably by a bird. It's supposed to start colliding later this month anyway. You know, there are all these people who think the Earth is going to explode when they turn it on. I'm pretty sure
it'll make a black hole or something.
Right, and we'll get sucked into it. Huh. That just sounds dumb. If it was really that easy to make a black hole, probably someone would have made one by mistake already. Don't you think? Google is offering free Wi-Fi in airports over the holidays through January 15th, and it's going to be available in 47 airports across the country, which is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that's kind of a drag, like, especially if you're traveling for work and you need to check something and, you know, then you got to log on to the stupid thing and you got to pay $9 or whatever it is. And, you know, you're only going to be on there to check your email for 2 minutes anyway. Who wants to pay $9 for that?
It's only through January 15th.
Only through January 15th. And, of course, they'll be advertising Google Chrome. Now, is Google Wave live? Do you know?
I don't think so. I think we would have heard more about it.
Because one of my friends on Facebook posted something about, hey, who of you have Google Wave? Because I'm da-da-da-da-da at googlewave.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple other people were like, I have it. How'd all these people get it? I don't have it. You have it?
No.
I don't have it.
You weren't invited to get it.
I was not invited to get it. Lego now has a VIP program through which you can earn points and eventually get free stuff. Now, they've had for years at their stores these little punch cards where, you know, depending on how much you spend, you get a little stamp or a punch or something. And then when it's full, you get a free what's called pick-a-brick box, where they have a big wall filled with containers that have different bricks in them.
Uh-huh.
And so when you get your punch card full, you can go and fill up the box as much as will fit in the box with anything from that wall, which is pretty cool. You know, a nice little extra something, something. So now they're turning it into more of a traditional, you know, loyalty program where you actually have a card that has points that are amassed on it and
right.
all that kind of thing. And what's cool is...
So if you get mugged on the street and someone asks for your wallet,
you probably...
They see that you have a Lego card.
Then major score for the muggers. And
yeah, I'm sure that's how it will go down.
As a matter of fact, if you have any punch cards that already have some punches on it, you can take them to the stores and they'll charge up your VIP card with whatever was on the punch cards,
uh-huh.
which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
That they're not going to make you lose all that hard-earned cash. And they always, you know, they always do a promotion around the holidays, too, where it's usually double points. So anything you buy, you get double points. And then what? Why is it funny?
You just know a lot about, I mean, I know you know a lot about Legos, but like.
Did you just say Legos?
I did say Legos.
That is incorrect. It is Lego building bricks.
I will forever say Legos.
Lego building blocks or Lego elements.
I will forever say Legos.
You can't even go Lego pieces, but not Legos. Jeez. Did you know anything? Staples Black Friday ad has leaked, and it shows that they'll actually have some pretty sweet deals. For example, the Microsoft 4000 wireless keyboard and mouse for $29.99.
Is that a good deal?
Well, it's a pretty good deal.
How much is it normally?
I think it's $31.50. No, I don't know. It's like it's like $80 normally or something like that. Yeah. An HP 15.6-inch laptop with 3 gigs of RAM for $299.98. Now, I think this next one is actually a really good deal. An APC 450-volt battery backup for $20. That's awesome because those things are usually pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
A Seagate 1 terabyte external hard drive for $69.99. An eMachines 21-inch widescreen LCD monitor for $89.98. And this one is a fantastic deal. Microsoft Office Home and Student 2007 for $69.99. Normally it's $150. So that's a really good deal. And yeah. Believe it or not, that's all I have.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
It's a little light.
It's very light. It was a slow week, I guess. I don't know what to say. Yeah,
that's okay.
You know? What,
it's okay.
You look disappointed.
No, not at all.
So it's really okay, is what you're okay. saying.
And that brings
I'm
us
sorry I didn't have more in here about cars.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay. Next week, I'll try to do a lot of stuff about Lego cars.
Great.
That are on Stargate Universe.
Cars made with Legos.
Yes. How dare you?
So where does that bring us?
That actually brings us to, as always, our votes for the best and worst entertainment moments of the week. Tony, as always, please start with your worst.
My worst entertainment moment of the week this week. Wow, was I a little
me
out
talking
there?
About Legos?
No, was your worst entertainment moment of the week last week,
which was
no Glee again.
Yeah, gosh darn baseball. But now it's over.
Yeah, Yankees won.
Yeah.
Now I can have my Glee back.
I'm almost wondering what's going to happen. Like, have people forgotten about it? Is it going to go down in the ratings? No?
No. It'll be just fine.
Okay.
And
I'm looking
today.
Forward to it tonight.
It's on today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Should be a good one.
That's because, my best entertainment moment of the week.
Really?
No.
That it's on today?
No, it's not.
My worst entertainment moment of the week was for completely forgetting to record V last week.
Yes.
When it was on.
Completely.
And not that I forgot to record it because I've used that too many times in the past.
Yeah.
But that ABC didn't put it on until Saturday. So it aired on Tuesday and then you couldn't get it online until Saturday.
Did they? I thought they rebroadcast it too.
I looked for it and couldn't find it. If they did, I just didn't see it. But yeah. I looked for it over the next like 2 days and I didn't, I looked for it later that night and the next night and I didn't see it.
You know,
and
I
went online. I'm still talking. I went online and it said, you know, V will be online on Saturday.
Uh-huh.
And so then I went to go to another page on the ABC website and all of a sudden the survey popped up. They wanted to ask me questions about how I felt about it not airing online until Saturday. And I'm like, so let me get this straight.
You've already made me wait 4 days.
Yeah, you're not going to let me watch it. And now you're going to waste my time and bother me by asking me how I feel about that.
Right.
It was terrible.
Like that. That's what you get for it. You know what? Your own damn fault.
Well, you know what's great is I forgot because we forgot to record it last week. Because we forgot to record it last week, I had never set it up on our DVR.
Uh-huh.
So I remembered this yesterday before it was too late.
Uh-huh.
And I actually went on to the old DirecTV website on my computer here at work and told it to record on our receiver in our family room from the World Wide Web.
That's amazing.
Pretty cool.
You know,
I you know what else I said it to record?
The longest.
Yo, wait, you know what else I said it
story.
To record?
What?
God, you're so rude. The Prisoner.
Another little space program.
The Prisoner starts
on Sunday.
Yeah,
that's getting horrible reviews.
It is?
Yeah.
Really?
Not horrible.
You just said horrible.
But bad.
Oh. Yeah, I'm kind of surprised. Ian McKellen and all. Yeah. He usually does pretty good work, don't you think?
I hated those Lord of the Ring movies. Hated them.
Well, but did you think his acting was bad?
I won't see them, and you can't make
them. Oh, you haven't seen them?
I saw the first one, slept through the second one, didn't bother with the third.
Yeah, they were really long,
yeah.
And everyone cried. I mean, every character wept in those films.
Never going to get to say what I want to say.
What do you want to say?
So when you told me you had forgotten to tape it, I went on Xbox to see if they were showing it, and so there was a big ad, you know, V, new series V. So I click on it, and then it showed, like, the series. And so I'm like, oh, wow. And then there were a few.
You mean the original?
It was the original. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But their initial, like, you know, ad was for
the new one. Right.
So it was a little false. It was a bait and switch.
You know, I read a little something in last week's Entertainment Weekly about Elizabeth Mitchell and how she's kind of a geek in real life and, you know, loves sci-fi and all that kind of stuff. And I have to say, it really kind of warmed me up to her because I, especially from Lost, I always kind of felt she was a little biatchy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? She wasn't the
I never got that from
warmest,
her.
Nicest person on that show. Her character.
No, you know she's an actress, right?
Yes,
and it is her job to portray a character.
I understand that. But as we have learned through many an entertainment-related thing, whether it's, you know, talk shows or articles and interviews, is that sometimes, you know, a person isn't that far off from what you're seeing on screen.
But other times, they're completely far off. Like, if you remember, through all of my ad nauseum celebrity stories, who have I always said is the nicest celebrity I've ever met?
I have no idea.
And she always plays a biatch.
I have no idea.
Heather Locklear.
Oh, she doesn't always play a biatch. What was she originally famous for?
Dynasty, where she was a biatch.
Oh. There was something where she wasn't a biatch.
TJ Hooker, I don't think she was.
There you go. That's what I'm thinking.
But then she was on Melrose Place.
Biatch?
Biatch.
Yeah.
Oh, you know like what? The ultimate biatch.
I'll tell you right now.
She's back on there now.
I'll tell you right now. I could just look at her and tell you that she's nice in real life.
You can't tell just by looking.
With her, I could.
Yeah.
Just like with, what's her name from Grey's Anatomy? I could tell that she's a total biatch in real life.
The main one?
Well, not the main one, not Grey, but the, what's her name?
Sandra Oh?
No.
Oh, Katherine Heigl.
Katherine Heigl.
Can't stand her.
Yeah. And now we know for real that she is a biatch.
Total biatch.
I called that years ago. I called that when she was stuck on a train with Steven Seagal. Okay?
Wasn't she a little kid in that?
So? She still looked like a biatch. That 8-year-old biatch.
That little biatch.
No, I don't know. I think she was late teens or something like that.
Okay. I'm so glad that that wasn't the password.
Biatch.
So glad that we had this segment after we had already told the password.
The password is definitely not biatch.
Where are we?
You're supposed to talk about your best entertainment moment of the week.
My best entertainment moment of the week. You know, I'm going to have to go with Flash Forward.
Really?
I have to go with the whole, that
changing
character.
Changing the timeline.
Oh, I never looked up his name. Changing the whole, like you said, changing the whole timeline.
Yeah.
That's really cool. I mean, it really, like, I'm excited about it now. I'm really looking forward to the next episode.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah, I'm just, I liked it. I liked that a lot.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I would say that.
I thought he was a good actor. I thought he was, I don't know. I was.
Engaged by him,
yes.
Well, what I thought, and maybe this
although
is the reason.
Although it could be because he's acting against terrible, some terrible
well,
acting.
That's true.
So.
And maybe it's because of the fact that, I think I know why I didn't like that as much as you did. And why I specifically thought that was a little weird is because until this episode, he's been a cookie cutter person.
Right. You're
right.
We
haven't seen anything from him in the way of any kind of emotion or depth in the entire series.
And then all
so
of
far.
A sudden.
And then all of a sudden he's got this like central part where, you know, where
no, I see
there's
your point.
A lot of weight on what's happening with him.
I see your point.
But
that doesn't take away how I, you know.
Now, the British woman, was that... That wasn't Mercedes... What's her name, was it?
Mercedes Rule.
Is that her name?
You mean the one from, like, Fisher King?
I never saw that.
Mercedes who?
Yeah, from Disclosure. Wasn't she in that?
That's Demi Moore.
No, the one who played her lawyer. Wasn't that Mercedes somebody?
I don't know. Let's look it up.
Yeah, please look it up. Do 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 do
Remind me to tell you when we're out there what I accidentally typed.
Oh,
it's very, very funny.
I don't know if I want to know now. Does it say?
Well, I went to Disclosure, which was stupid.
Why would you go there? That was like a third degree.
No, but Dylan Baker was in that movie. Oh, you're thinking of Roma Mafia.
Roma Mafia. Was it her in Roma Mafia?
No. But she is on an episode of Eastwick.
We're not talking about that.
Oh, she's the nurse from Nip Tuck.
Okay. Also not talking about that. Was she on?
I said no.
Okay. You sure?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm sure.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure that you're sure. By the way, in The Office, didn't you think it was really funny when Kevin was saying all the stupid stuff and Oscar was, you know, rebutting everything he said? And he's like, why can't you just agree with me once? I thought that was actually really funny.
Because you know what it's like to say things that no one agrees with. Sometimes. I don't know why I'm being so mean today.
Yeah, really. What's up with that?
Oh.
It's a good thing I know you're kidding. You're kidding, right?
Yeah.
You sure? So for my best entertainment moment of the week, and let me just preface this by saying it's not that I didn't enjoy the various things that I saw this week. But what?
Nothing. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. There's something that I saw on TV that really captured my imagination for a couple of minutes until I found out what it was. And it was just a commercial for something. But like while I was watching it, I don't know, I'm sure you've seen these. They started airing these commercials for the new Motorola Droid phone.
Uh-huh.
Where there were these like what looked like a bunch of a fleet of stealth planes, and they dropped something out and these things came crashing to the ground, and then they open up and everyone's like trying to figure out what they were. Well, you don't know what's going on until the very end of the commercial when you see the phone,
right.
You know. And you know it's a commercial for the Motorola Droid. But during that whole time, it actually looked like a preview for some kind of cool movie or something. And I was really excited that there was going to be some cool new sci-fi thing. And then it turns out to be a commercial for a phone. But I got to give them kudos for coming up with a commercial that was that engaging for 60 seconds before giving us a little pitch.
So that's your best entertainment moment of the week.
It is.
I also want to mention that we had to pause taping.
Because I couldn't think of anything.
Because he didn't have anything. And that's what he came up with.
Yeah. Well, it was a slow week. I don't know what to tell you.
No, I agree.
You don't even watch Top Chef anymore.
Well, that's not my best entertainment moment of the week.
I'm just saying, I can't believe you don't even watch that show anymore. You used to love Top Chef.
I watch it if it's on.
It's on every week. It's on whether you watch it or not.
I don't seek it out, but if it's on, I'll watch it.
What does that mean? You don't know, does it?
I don't really
know. He's doing something else. He's not even paying attention.
I'm looking
anymore.
For the Clash of the Titans trailer.
Oh, okay.
That probably could have been your best entertainment moment of the week.
Maybe.
All I can find is the YouTube version, though, and we don't want that.
Why not? Is it not the real version? Oh. Did you try clashofthetitansmovie.com? Because that's where they usually put stupid movie things nowadays. But anyway, so that's it. So that's my vote for best entertainment moment
that
of the week.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. Sorry. Slow week. And again, I like The Office. I like Flash Forward. I like Stargate Universe. I liked V. I liked Modern Family. But that was the thing that like kind of caught my attention the most, I would say. Embarrassing as that may be. So as always, thanks for tuning in and listening. Don't forget to send the secret password. Right. Enter the contest. Send the secret password that you heard us say earlier, along with your mailing address to have a chance to win a free year subscription to Entertainment Weekly. And as always, we will see you next week.
Bye.